Roots. Jimmy Carter, born in October 1924 to Earl Carter and Lillian Gordy, grew up in Plains, Georgia, a small town with around 500 people. His family later moved to a farm in Archery, just 2 miles from Plains. Life on the farm was tough. Their home lacked insulation and running water until electricity finally arrived in 1940. From a young age, Carter took the initiative to earn money by selling boiled and salted peanuts. He mastered carpentry, woodworking, and welding, while also tackling tasks like cotton chopping and plowing with draft animals. Covering a distance of 22 to 25 miles in a single day. Out of 200 people in Archery, only the Carters and a railroad foreman were white. Jimmy grew up next to African-American neighbors and hung out with their kids. Back then, he didn't know about the rules keeping blacks and whites apart. As he hit his teenage years, he noticed the subtle differences that shaped relationships between the black and white communities. He saw his dad treat black folks with respect, but Earl Carter believed in keeping races separate, while Jimmy Carter was all about fairness. At 16, in 1941, Carter finished high school and headed to Georgia Southwestern College. Inspired by his uncle Tom Gordy, who served in the Navy, Carter aimed to become a Navy man through education. The Navy. Carter graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, in 1946. His studies in naval engineering covered electronics, electrical power, seamanship, ship construction, and operation. He was a keen reader, diving into history, literature, and aviation. Carter enjoyed classical music and participated in cross-country running alongside his classmates. In 1948, he joined a submarine school. His first brush with death happened when a wave tossed him overboard. Spotting Mao Zedong's troops' campfires was one standout moment from his Navy days. His time underwater made him keenly interested in Taiwan and China. Right after finishing his training, he tied the knot with Rosalind Smith, whom he had known since childhood. They grew up as neighbors, with Rosalind being best friends with Jimmy Carter's younger sister, Ruth. During his time in the Navy, Jimmy Carter and his wife had 3 sons, Jack, Chip, and Jeffrey. They welcomed their 4th child, daughter Amy, in 1967, a whole 20 years after their eldest son was born. Carter made a big decision without discussing it with his wife. He chose to leave the Navy in October 1953 and return to his hometown of Plains. His father had passed away that summer, and Carter felt it was his duty to step up and run the family business. By leaving his naval career behind, he was taking a risk, entering a new phase of life without a guaranteed income. Carter's agricultural and civic commitment. Taking charge of the family farm, Carter dove into the daily operations, picking cotton and peanuts, buying crops, and handling debts. He inherited a fifth of his dad's land but ran all the farmland, including timber areas. 7 families worked as sharecroppers on the property. Carter coached them on farming techniques for better yields. He constructed storage spaces for corn, cotton, grains, and peanuts. Mixing fertilizers, fixing machinery, running the show, and tackling environmental issues were all part of his routine. As Carter settled into farm life, he dove into community activities. Taking up his father's roles in the local hospital authority and county board of education, he aimed to enhance public services for farmers. His interest in agriculture expanded statewide, leading him to take charge as president of the Georgia Crop Improvement Association. He also joined the school board, pushing for fairer education, even though segregation persisted in schools. Despite the pressure, Carter stood firm against joining the White Citizens Council, a racist group backed by powerful politicians. In 1962, Carter campaigned for a seat in Georgia's Senate. Despite election corruption by the Democratic Party, he emerged victorious after a second vote. In 1966, he deliberated between running for U.S. Congress or Georgia's governorship, ultimately choosing the latter. Rosalind Carter actively supported his campaign, but he faced defeat. In 1970, he ran again and succeeded, becoming governor and sparking a new political era in the South. This victory paved the way for significant strides against racial discrimination. Governor Carter prioritized education, environmental protection, healthcare, international relations, and tax reform. Duty to Nation. In 1973, the Democratic Party enlisted Carter to lead their election efforts for the upcoming 1974 campaigns. He accepted and made valuable connections, setting the stage for his decision to run for president in early 1975 as his gubernatorial term neared its end. Carter embarked on an extensive campaign, visiting all 50 states despite limited funds. Throughout his journey, his top priority was always honesty and truthfulness. Carter connected with his audiences by talking about his schooling, farming experience, and dedication to cutting red tape. With strong backing from his family members who pitched in for his campaign, he secured the Democratic nomination. Paired with vice presidential hopeful Walter Mondale in 1976, Carter challenged President Gerald Ford in the general election and emerged victorious. Initially taken aback by the title President Carter, the 39th president swiftly embraced his new duties. His early plans included negotiating peace in the Middle East, ending apartheid in South Africa, promoting democracy in more nations, reducing nuclear weapon stockpiles, enhancing relations with Cuba and China, and addressing Panama Canal concerns. Carter made human rights the cornerstone of his foreign policy. Inside the White House, President Carter found himself surrounded by the rich history of the White House, from the very items used by past greats like Jefferson, Lincoln, FDR, and JFK. He aimed to honor their legacy by creating a cozy home for his family within its walls. Informal gatherings, including meals and movie nights with his daughter Amy and her friends, became regular occurrences. Every Wednesday, he and the First Lady shared lunch, cherishing this time. They also cherished their escapes to Camp David. Carter maintained a disciplined routine, running daily, covering 5 to 7 miles, accompanied by a military aide. He prioritized saving money, both personally and for the nation, which sometimes drew criticism. While he tried to maintain an open relationship with the media, negative coverage plagued much of his presidency, with only 2 out of 48 months escaping scrutiny. In 1979, Carter invited Deng Xiaoping, China's vice premier, to the U.S., a move aimed at normalizing relations. Privately, Carter also discussed matters with Britain's Prime Minister, James Callaghan, which helped him grasp how to assist the UK during its economic struggles. Issues mostly resolved. Carter ignored advice to not take on too many projects as president. He saw plenty that needed fixing. He helped create the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, saved land in Alaska, assisted New York City and the Chrysler Corporation during their financial troubles, and made the federal government more efficient. Some Republicans and foreign leaders thought Carter's support for human rights was weak and inexperienced. He supported democracy and freedom worldwide, especially in Latin America. He pushed for direct elections in Rhodesia, which later became Zimbabwe. Carter met with Soviet leaders and activists, aiding human rights causes and efforts to end the Cold War. He was deeply interested in China and worked to improve relations. Carter's dedication to peace in the Middle East led to the Camp David peace talks in 1978. Although tense, these talks successfully brokered negotiations between Israeli and Egyptian leaders, Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat. During Carter's final year as president, he took steps to free American hostages held in Iran. Unfortunately, his efforts didn't succeed, and a helicopter crashed during a rescue attempt. This worsened energy prices and inflation. However, Carter's actions did play a role in getting the hostages released shortly after Ronald Reagan became president. Carter's continued concerns. Carter holds strong views on ongoing issues that he didn't fully solve while in office, those that changed with new leaders' priorities, and ones affected by time and circumstances. Besides Cuba and the Koreas, Carter is keen on 1. Abortion. This posed a major conflict for Carter, juggling his public duties with personal beliefs. He backed the legality of abortion in the first trimester, following the ruling in Roe v. Wade. His focus was on minimizing abortions by supporting family planning, providing financial aid and food assistance for mothers and children, and simplifying adoption processes. 2. Drugs. Carter argues that the government's approach to tackling the global drug trade is backfiring. Instead of focusing on helping drug users get better, it's punishing them, leading to a surge in the number of people in prison. 3. Energy. Energy was a big deal during Carter's time in office. He wanted to make sure that by 2000, a fifth of America's energy would be from renewable sources. Fast forward to now, and the U.S. only gets 10% of its power from non-fossil fuels. That's way less than countries like Canada, Spain, Mexico, and even China. Plus, there's still the worry about nuclear power and the risk of nuclear war hanging over us. 4. Intelligence, Carter is dedicated to safeguarding people's privacy. However, changes to the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, especially during George W. Bush's presidency, significantly weakened protections. Carter questions whether the government respects the remaining legal safeguards, which goes against the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Lead by example. When Jimmy Carter left the White House at 56, he wasn't certain about his next steps. But instead of resting on his laurels, he took charge outside politics, using his influence to push his projects. His family's farms and businesses suffered during his presidency, but he didn't give up. He put effort into fixing them and became a respected professor at Emory University, where he still teaches. His dedication to Habitat for Humanity hasn't waned. For over 30 years, he and Rosalind Carter have led a yearly volunteer drive, building and fixing homes for families in need. Building a presidential library led to the birth of the Carter Center, a powerhouse of action. Unlike a museum, it's a hub for ongoing work and productivity. Since its launch in 1982, this bipartisan center has spread its wings across 80 countries, championing democracy, freedom, human rights, and peace. Jimmy Carter, the former president, penned a hit memoir called Keeping Faith and several other books. Yet, he deems his 2014 work, A Call to Action, Women, Religion, Violence, and Power, as the most crucial. In it, he shines a light on the widespread mistreatment of women and girls, offering 23 practical steps for change. Carter now finds fulfillment in his current lifestyle, describing it as the best phase of his life. He resides in Plains, actively engaging in teaching Bible lessons at his local church. Alongside his wife Rosalind, they've traveled extensively, visiting close to 150 countries, and continue their global initiatives through the Carter Center. Key points. 1. From humble beginnings to global influence, Jimmy Carter's journey embodies perseverance and public service. 2. Carter's naval career, family life, and political endeavors shaped his commitment to fairness and community. 3. As president, Carter prioritized human rights, international diplomacy, and domestic reforms. 4. Despite challenges, his legacy extends beyond his presidency, advocating for women's rights and global peace. 5. Carter's post-presidential activities include teaching, Habitat for Humanity, and the Carter Center's global initiatives. 6. He remains an active voice on issues like abortion, energy, and privacy, urging for progressive change. 7. Carter's life story inspires lessons in leadership, resilience, and civic engagement for generations to come.